It's Sunday, and you are back with Hashtag Everyone, talking about Hashtag Everything. I'm Kate Doherty, and I've got my co-host here, Keely Reger. And we have a special guest in studio with us today, Jessica Sublett. And our topic today is going to be talking about all different aspects of mental health. But you know what? This morning, we're going to give a shout-out to Josh up in the sky above us these days, because I know he's watching out for us, everybody here at WGEM, and this is the first time we've done a show without Josh being with us. So anyway, God bless you and your family and all the impact, Josh, you had on everybody's lives.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. All right. And otherwise, Jessica, so good to see you. Keely, how are you this morning, too?
I am doing well, and I'm very excited to have Jessica here. I am blessed to have her at my church, so I cornered her one day and said, hey, you want to come on the show? So here she is. So we've got a lot to talk about, actually. And I think what we want to start off with maybe is, Jessica, why don't you just tell us a little bit about what you do and where you do it, and we'll kind of take it from there.
Okay. First of all, thank you for having me. You know, I don't ever mind doing these kinds of things. I'm a very big mental health advocate in our community, and, you know, I am of the philosophy that getting help is a good thing for all of us. We all have mental health needs, and we all they're different because we all have different stories. So we all need to pay attention to that in our overall well-being. I am a therapist. I'm a licensed professional counselor, and I work at Mark Twain Behavioral Health in the Hannibal office. I work with a program called the Emergency Room Enhancement Program, which actually works with folks who don't have any source of funding. We work with them in the short, in the interim period, to try to help them think outside the box, work with them outside the box to see if they would maybe be eligible for some sort of funding. If not, where can we refer you to help you get long-term services in the way of mental health?
And I think that's really important. So I love that you started out there, because funding streams right now are difficult, definitely.
Very difficult. And, you know, I know the Missouri funding system much better than the Illinois, because I work on the Missouri side. But we do try to help certain folks apply for the adult disabled Medicaid. And I will specify that I work with adults in my program, 18 and over. Not everybody's going to get Medicaid.
Right.
Some people will. Some people, it's a fight
it's
for
a process,
them.
Absolutely.
And to advocate hard for them to get that. Just because you fill out a Medicaid application itself doesn't mean you're going to get approved.
Right.
So that's where we kind of come in, and we try to help advocate for that if there's a need and you have a disability that's prohibiting you from being able to function in society, whether that means taking care of your family, whether that means functioning in a job. If you need services, you need funding to cover those services.
Absolutely.
So that's what we look to do.
Absolutely.
You know, though, I think probably I want to just take a step back for a second, Jessica, because I really want you for our listeners to explain exactly when we're talking mental health. I feel like people hear those two words.
Mm-hmm.
And they check out. They go, oh, well, that's not me. Or there's not really an identifier that, oh, wait, that's me, or that's my cousin, or that's my mother, or my father, or my sister, or my brother, or my best friend. Because they go, oh, well, I literally had someone say to me, like, oh, well, you know, I don't have any mental health issues. You know, I just don't resonate with that. I'm like, well, I thought you said you were on anxiety medication. And they said, well, you know, it's just I just get it from my doctor. It's no big deal. And I'm like, well, but that's a mental health. So I guess.
Absolutely.
Could you help our listeners understand, like, yeah, if you're living with anxiety, if you're, you know, struggling with some, you know, paranoia, like any of those
sadness,
things,
you bet.
So
the thing is, we're looking at quality of life issues, you know, and it is sometimes much easier to see in other people than it is to see in ourselves that something's not right, that something's going on. But, you know, the wonderful reality is that things can be better. And so, yes, if you have an anxiety disorder, that's a mental health issue. If you have some depression, that's a mental health issue. My personal professional belief is that we all have a little bit of something.
Oh, amen. Any
and I'm not
day,
saying
right
that to be sarcastic.
No,
I'm
me
saying
neither.
That as a life reality. And here's why I say that. Mental health issues, mental health disorders, mental illness can come from different aspects. They can be genetic. Sometimes that's not always identified in those branches of our family trees. Sometimes we can recognize past behaviors and, you know, beliefs and things that we may go, something wasn't right, but we don't always identify it as a mental health issue.
Well, and not everybody has access to their genetics.
That's true. Yes, that's a very important thing to point out. Genetics is only one piece of it, though. You know, we can be traumatized by things that happen to us in life. You know, you hear the words PTSD, and a lot of folks just think, oh, that only happens with veterans, you know, combat, war veterans. And yes, it does. It's very prevalent. But you know what? I work with people who have severe PTSD from childhood abuse, physical, sexual, emotional abuse. I work with people who have PTSD from living through a severe car accident. Mm. No abuse history, no war history, living through a car accident. I've worked with people who live through natural disasters and now have the effects of post-traumatic stress disorder. So what I'm saying is we can have genetics as a factor in whether or not we have mental health issues. Life experiences can also bring about these same types of symptoms. And the way I look at it is there is treatment for this. And a lot of people don't realize that. But your quality of life can be so much better if you look at, you know, take an inward look at yourself. And sometimes it really does take somebody else to point that out, though. I work in a rehab setting for substance use. And a lot of what we talk about in there, too, because a big percentage of those folks have been traumatized at some point in their life. And it has led to the substance use that's caused them problems in their relationships with the legal system.
Right.
They're so related in. I just say, you know, it's better for you to get help and you live a more functional life than look out at all those people in the world who are not going to do that and continue to live miserably.
Because don't you find most of the time, you know, you're talking substance abuse, that's a symptom of something else deeper.
Usually. And it's hard to figure out sometimes which came first, the chicken or the egg.
Right, right.
Because a lot of times people started to use substances of one type or another to self-medicate their mental health symptoms.
Right.
They don't really realize that until you really sit down with a provider, get a good history and a lot of information and collateral information from family members or other people who have been involved to see, oh, look, here's the pattern. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe I really did start to self-medicate with marijuana, for example, to relieve my anxiety.
Right.
Here's where I am.
Mm-hmm.
But for some people, you know, I see a lot of people who have abused methamphetamine, for example, who now have psychosis. And there is a true meaning for psychosis, ladies. A lot of people throw the word psychotic around and don't really know what it means. Mm-hmm. So I like to clarify that for people, too, that true psychosis means you are having auditory or visual hallucinations. Seeing things or hearing things that are not there, or you have extreme paranoia to the point where it's preventing you from being functional in life. You think people are truly out to get you, and it prevents you from doing things like even going out of your house.
Mm.
So that's psychosis, and it can happen from being, you know, drug-induced.
Sure.
But on the other hand, when you look at the other side, sometimes people do just genetically have a psychotic disorder.
Mm-hmm.
Minus any substances. So there's just so many different factors you have to look at with mental health, and there's so many degrees of acuity of mental illness, crisis down to, you know, the worried well.
Yeah. Well, and I can't wait to talk some more about this because we're already coming to the close of this next segment, and I'm really excited to talk about this, and I know Keely is too, and so I want to thank you truly for being here today because I think this is a really important topic here in the Tri-States, and I think that, you know, part of my wish for our entire area is for everybody to live the life that God intended them to live. And anyway, it is Sunday morning. We're coming to close of the first segment. This is Hashtag Everyone talking about Hashtag Everything. We'll be right back.
Branching Out LLC, a premier lawn and landscaping service that can meet all your residential and commercial needs. Regardless of the season, Branching Out offers a service for maintenance-free outside living. Branching Out takes the time to listen to your needs and ensure it's done correctly the first time. If you're not satisfied, Branching Out is not satisfied. To contact Branching Out, call 573-501-0760 or visit them at www.branchingoutllc.com.
Don't you think it's time for a financial advisor who takes time to explain things? Brad Kurz, your local Edward Jones financial advisor, does. Investing can seem complicated. That's why he takes time to listen, understands your needs, and explains without jargon. Experience the Edward Jones difference. Contact Brad today, 573-221-1302. That's 221-1302. Making time to take time. That's how Edward Jones makes sense of investing. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
I learn, I speak, I care. Hashtag every child. Down country, because every child is a gift. Every child can learn, and every child learns differently. Up at downcountry.com. Up at downcountry.com or call 217-617-3568. 217-617-3568 or visit Downcountry on Facebook or Twitter. Hashtag every child. Welcome back. It's Hashtag Everyone talking about Hashtag Everything. I'm Kate Doherty with my co-host Keely Reger, and we have the delightful Jessica Sublett on with us today from Mark Twain Behavioral Health, and we are talking about all things related to mental health, from the very definition of what mental health is and what it covers, because it encompasses such a huge area, the importance of it here in the tri-states. But Jessica typically works with adults, but one of the things when we went on break we started talking about was the importance of also getting children help, because it will make her job a lot easier on the adult level if we really understand the importance of getting kiddos counseling if they begin to exhibit signs or symptoms of anxiety or behavioral-related issues.
Right, right. Early intervention, as with everything else, and we do consider these things medical issues. I want to be very clear about that. This is a medical condition that can be treated like other medical conditions, and I wish more people would see it that way. But you're right. Early intervention is key. So it is important to look at the family history, to look at, you know, predisposing qualities, what you may be seeing in these children early on. A lot of times we get misdiagnoses with children because there are overlap of symptoms of various diagnoses that may present as one thing, and it could be really easy to just diagnose when maybe it's really not. You know, maybe they're really just having some anxiety and that's why they can't focus, for example. Maybe that's why the acting out behavior is going on, because they're just not even comfortable enough in their own skin to be able to function in the classroom or at home or in the community. So there's just so many different things that you have to look at, different dynamics. But yes, when you look at best practice, you're looking at early intervention. And medicine's not always the answer. You know, I'm not here. I'm not a doctor, but I also am here to tell you that medicine, not everybody needs to be on medicine. Sometimes counseling is, you know, the best course of first action. And, you know, and that may lead to where after you've had a few counseling sessions, the counselor might say, you know what? Maybe this little bit of medication can help control symptoms enough where we can really work on things in the counseling. And maybe medicine isn't something people need to be on forever. Maybe it's just to get us through the hump, you know, or maybe it's not needed at all. But you really have to get into a good trusting relationship with a provider to get to that point where you can really start weeding things out.
Well, that's a good place to go now is, where do people start when they want to find a good provider? Where do they go here in the tri-states?
Well, I can tell you, like I said, I'm much more familiar with Missouri resources than Illinois, but I know Illinois also has Transitions of Illinois is where I know a lot of folks that I've worked with who lived in Illinois did start. In Missouri, we have, believe it or not, a lot of programs specifically for kiddos, because they tend to have funding much easier than adults do. But where I work at Mark Twain Behavioral Health, we have services that run the gamut of age. You can start very young age at getting some play therapy and those kinds of things, and seeing a psychiatrist, nurse practitioner. We have an array of counselors. So Mark Twain Behavioral Health is a good place to start for just kind of seeing what's out there and what's needed. You can call our office number and speak with an intake person anonymously if you'd like. You know, I know that's an issue for some people.
And what's your intake number?
Our office number is 573-221-2120.
573-221-2120. 2120.
And just
573-221-2120.
Yes. Okay. And just ask to talk to the intake person. You know, maybe you're not, maybe you don't even really know why you're calling or what you need. And that person that you talk to can kind of help you figure that out.
Well, and I'm glad you said that piece about anonymous, because I do think, you know, one of the things we talk about a lot is the difference between a rural dynamic versus a metropolitan dynamic. And, you know, no different than you attend church with Keely. And I think very sometimes, and it's not a right or wrong, it's an unfortunate situation, because there really has been kind of like a veil over this whole issue for so long that I feel some, or it's been my experience, sometimes people don't want to make that call. because they may know someone who works there, and they mm-hmm. don't, and so it prevents them from making that call. Right. So thank you so much for mentioning mm-hmm. that if they call 573-221-2120 here in the Tri-State, it is anonymous. Right. You don't have to give your name or your mm-hmm. your loved one's name or your friend's name. You can just call and talk to them.
No, it can be a consult for guidance is the way I kind of look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I know our intake folks, and I know they will listen, and they will try to help give you the best direction possible. Maybe it's at Mark Twain Behavioral Health. Maybe it's not, depending mm-hmm. on the circumstances.
But it's a starting point.
It is. Right.
I think too many times people sit back, and they don't know where to start, so they don't start anywhere. Right. So at least if you call Mark Twain Behavioral Health, I loved how you said they can guide you to wherever you need to go, because it may not be that
right.
place.
There are a lot of things that are taken into consideration before, you know, they make a recommendation as to what they think is best course of action for you. But like I said, they are very good at listening to all of the dynamics, all of the circumstances going on with your situation, and will just do the best they can to make sure that they guide you to the right place.
Mm-hmm. So if you have a loved one or a friend and they have an episode of actual psychosis, this is not what's supposed to be happening with person A, B, C. Like, there is something going on. What do I do? I mean, I call you, but then what does that look like?
Okay. Well, I always like to tell people, you don't have to fix it. Because a lot of times people will either think they need to do more than they really need to do, or they do nothing because they really don't know what to do. And a lot of times that happens more than I would like to see is that people just ignore things because they don't want to mess with it. They mm-hmm. don't want to get in the middle of it. Well, the reality is you don't really have to. Mm-hmm. You know, if you call the right place, they can help even in a crisis situation, take you out of the middle. But, you know, it is helpful to call with that information so that people know where to start and what's going on. Because you are the one, if you have a loved one or a friend or somebody who's exhibiting psychosis, can be very serious. Now, not everybody who's psychotic needs to be in the hospital, though. Let me clarify mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. Some people hear voices their whole lives, mm-hmm. and they're not dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, you know, we have to look at, you know, how severe is the situation. But again, it's not for you to decide.
Mm-hmm.
If you think somebody needs the help, again, call. Somebody can help you figure out which direction to go with that, because there are, you know, procedures that can be taken to get somebody hospitalized, for example. And with the changes in Missouri and the way that we've now handle mental health crisis, a lot of times it is up to the family member or the friends mm-hmm. to even approach a judge about like an involuntary commitment, a civil commitment, we call mm-hmm. it, which what that does is try to help get the loved one hospitalized, you know, in the acute, imminently harmful time. Mm-hmm. But then you need the follow-up after the hospitalization.
I'm glad you said that, because that follow-up care is, I mean, for me, I think that's so important. I mean, the acute crisis is scary for people, but that follow-up.
Right. Absolutely, because I think when your loved one is discharged, you think, oh, well, they're cured, they're okay, we're you know, smooth sailing. But yes, you know, you need that ongoing, whether it be counseling or whether it be a treatment plan, however you want to put it.
Right. And, you know, I worked inpatient mental health for many, many years. And what I would tell them while they were in treatment was that, man, you're learning some really valuable things here. I'm really seeing some good progress with you while you're here, in the way of, you know, you're just in this secure environment where you're able to feel comfortable sharing things. We're getting some good coping skills going here. But you know what? When you leave these doors, mm-hmm. you're being thrown back out to the wolves.
Yep.
The world is not changing for you. So mm-hmm. you have to make a decision to change yourself mm-hmm. and stick with it, because, you know, like just what you were saying, the aftercare is so important. So having something set up if you're coming out of the hospital for your services, whether it be counseling, whether it be monitoring your medication, you know, whatever, having your support systems lined out. You know, I talk like I'm still working inpatient because I really loved working inpatient. But
that's okay.
Yeah, we want to know that those things are all set up and that you have a plan and you have appointments and you have support.
Well, I would imagine that if those pieces for that aftercare aren't in effect, I would imagine that you see repeats. You see lots of repeats.
Absolutely. I mean, we'd have what we call a revolving door for mm-hmm. a lot of people. And a lot of the time it was because things weren't followed through with.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and for some people, that is just what happens in the course of their illness, and trying to grasp things and come to reality, you know, about this is really what's going on with me, and I really need to continue treatment.
I have to go to counseling. Right, I have to, you know, it's part of my new life.
Lifestyle.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because I think too many people, I know that when I worked within the field, a lot of people take their medications, they're feeling better, and then they just stop.
Oh, yeah.
And it's
like,
oh, my life just fell apart again. So
it's like, oh, okay, maybe I was feeling better because of the medication.
Right.
And that is a hard thing.
It is.
And, you know, a lot of folks I work with who have bipolar disorder will tell me, I don't want to lose my manic high. And bipolar disorder means the extreme mood swings between mania and depression, for those of you who don't know. And mania is the highs, you know, sometimes as far as the mood goes. And, you know, you get a lot done and you have a lot of energy and you're very outgoing and you know, have a lot of good things going on. And a lot of times people think medication is going to take that away from them. Mm-hmm. And so they stop taking medication for that reason. They lost that high. But the right medication will keep you level and you will still be able to do the things that you need to do. And that's just an example of one disorder and what medication can do. But you're right. A lot of people do just stop the medication. And the thing is, like I said, you don't always have to be on medication your whole life.
Right.
But you do need to stay in contact with your doctor, counselor, your providers, you know, to communicate how things are going.
Absolutely.
If you're thinking maybe you want to decrease the medicine or get off of it, talk to the doctor first. Make a plan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's that not
plan
that it's
is so important.
It is. And that communication.
Yes.
And medication will need to be adjusted as you age, as you gain weight, as you lose weight. All of those different factors play into it.
Yes.
It's I think people, it's kind of like exercise. You think, oh well, I'm just gonna, you know, pop it and then I'm done forever and ever and ever. Well, it doesn't exactly work that way.
No, it doesn't. I'm seeing that since I'm over 40, Kate.
All right. And with that, we are in the red here. So we are going to end our second segment. And this is we will be back in just a few. This is Hashtag Everyone talking about Hashtag Everything. We'll be right back. Have a blessed Sunday.
Calling all self-advocates, family members, and professionals who are interested in applying for Downcountry scholarships. Go to upatdowncountry.com for more information and to obtain a scholarship application. Still have questions? Call 217-617-3568 and Kate Doherty will guide you through the process. Don't delay. This is an amazing opportunity to gain access to national and international conferences to further your knowledge and receive CEUs. Visit upatdowncountry.com today.
Don't miss the Crown and Sash Dash coming up Saturday, November 18th, 9 a.m. at Flower City Park in Palmyra, Missouri. It's a 5K runner walk, $25 per person, with 100% of the profits supporting Children's Miracle Network. Registration at 8 a.m. Race begins at 9 a.m. sharp, four age groups for men and women. Again, it's the Crown and Sash Dash, Saturday, November 18th. That's Flower City Park, Palmyra, Missouri. Just search Crown and Sash Dash for more info and to get registered.
I learn, I speak, I care. Hashtag every child. Down country, because every child is a gift. Every child can learn, and every child learns differently. Up at downcountry.com. Up at downcountry.com or call 217-617-3568, 217-617-3568, or visit Downcountry on Facebook or Twitter. Hashtag every child. Welcome back. It's Hashtag Everyone talking about Hashtag Everything. We've been talking about mental health related issues here in the tri-states with the darling Jessica Sublett from Mark Twain Behavioral Health, and we're so excited that she's here with us. And got to be honest, over the break, Keely just basically, like, this is such a big topic. We're going to have her back, you know?
Oh, we've got to have her back. We could just sit here and talk forever.
Yeah, so could I.
I think we have three more shows
on lots
different
of questions.
Aspects. So
yes.
Here we go. Question away. She's yours.
Oh, she's mine. All right. Well, I'll tell you, one of the things you mentioned during break is you do group therapy as well as go into prisons, and I think that's
county jail.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I think that's really important for people to understand that sometimes these cycles, because we don't get the help we need, we end up in different places we don't need to
be. And that is something I point out on a regular basis, and I emphasize with the folks that I work with in either the substance abuse treatment setting or a jail setting, is that, you know what, is this cycle continuing for you where you're in and out of jail, you're in and out of rehab, you're in and out of chaotic relationships? You know, the chaos is just continuing. And if so, is there a possibility that maybe you haven't paid attention to the mental health side of things? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, rehab is great. It provides a lot of good services and a lot of good programs, a lot of good support. But if you don't put in what we call the co-occurring piece, and co-occurring meaning having an addiction as well as a mental illness at the same time.
Sure.
They're treated as separately, but they're treated together. And if you don't treat both of them and you really do have the mental health side going on, I can almost 100% guarantee you that your cycle is going to continue.
Right.
And again, that means different things for different people. Doesn't mean you need to be on medication. And I don't want people to hear me say that everybody that, you know, is in trouble with the law needs to be on medication.
Agreed.
Or that even everybody with a mental health issue needs to be on medication. But some people really do.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that may be part of the puzzle for you. Now, that may be a piece of the puzzle for you that maybe you haven't put in yet that might start to make things go uphill instead of continuing to spiral downhill.
Mm-hmm. Well, and some of this, I think, like you said, like you may or may not need to be on medication. It's not about that.
No.
It's about understanding your triggers for that cycle that you're perpetuating.
Right.
I mean, for example, if I go and drink and do drugs every single time that I suddenly get an anxiety attack, but I don't know that I'm getting an anxiety attack, well, congratulations. My trigger is a mental health trigger, which causes my substance abuse. So I can go to a wonderful rehab program, but I haven't really gotten to the root of, I mean, yes, I have an addiction, but I also have, I've got this other thing.
Right. And like I said, the chicken or the egg thing, who knows? Did the substance use cause the mental health disorder? Did the mental health disorder, you know, lead to the substance use because of self-medicating? Self-medicating is a real concept. And it's very, very prevalent, you know, much more prevalent than people realize, that you may be using that substance to medicate your mental health symptoms, to lift your mood, to give you energy. You know, people use methamphetamine so they can get the house clean. You know, I'm serious. You know, people, it gives them the energy to do things sometimes. I mean, it doesn't affect everybody the same, but, that, you know, it's just an example.
No, and I also think that sometimes people simply go to alcohol or drugs but it can be food. It can be exercise.
Right.
It can be. I mean, there's a plethora.
Right.
You know, it's anything that interferes in those activities of daily living.
That's right. Right. And you know, you see the commercials on TV about, if you have been experiencing these symptoms for more than 2 weeks, you may be... you know, and I'm sure there is some evidence-based, you know, information that's why they use that. But, you know, in my world, when I'm trying to work with people, I'm just like, you know what? Let's look at this. Is this interfering with your life on a daily basis, on an ongoing basis? We're looking at patterns. You know, we're not looking for just bumps in the road, because everybody's going to have bad days. Everybody's going to have, you know, sad times in their life.
Mm-hmm.
That's normal. Mm-hmm. What we're looking at is ongoing patterns that continue to impede your daily functioning, whatever that means for you.
Mm-hmm.
And once we see that cycle and that pattern, okay, we've identified it. Now what are we going to do about it?
Mm-hmm.
Because what you've been doing is not working.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So what are we going to do differently? You know, and again, you have to be in that right frame of mind to be able to be ready for that.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times,
timing is key.
It is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And quality of life. I mean, that's what we're going for.
Well, you know, I hope the message of today's show, because we are committed, but I hope the message of today's show is you can get better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think there was this erroneous thought that, oh, well, if you had a mental health issue, no, you can get better. You can have a better life. You don't have to keep doing what you've always done. I mean,
don't let fear hold you back. Make that call and get some direction and some help.
And, you know, I think God put people on this earth for us to access. And he put us on this earth to take care of each other.
Yep.
So whether
you
are that person who's trying to reach out to someone to get help, or you're that person who needs to reach out to someone to get that kind of help, you know, we are here. For each other. And I really believe that, you know, even God's okay. God's okay with people being on medicine sometimes.
That's why he gives us doctors.
Exactly.
Right.
But it's looking at the big picture to see what you really need.
And if you're here in the tri-states, please feel free to call Mark Twain Behavioral Health for an anonymous, if you so desire, 573-221-2120. 573-221-2120. And we'll also be listing on the website the crisis text line, the National Suicide Prevention Line, and the NAMI Warm Line. But for this, Jessica, thank you so much. Keely, you rock as always.
It's been a blast.
And everybody else, have a happy, blessed Sunday. This is Hashtag Everyone talking about Hashtag Everything. Signing out. Life goes on. Yeah.